Kaya ang pag-aaral natin ngayon ay bunsod ng mga pag-iisip ng mga tao ngayon sa buwan ng pag-ibig daw. Ang pinangahamon ko ay pag-ibig na naiiba at pag-ibig ito sa mga makasalanan. And therefore, I'm using this months to call your attention to some biographies, brief biographies of men who we would put under the category of missionaries. Ang mga tao na kinasangkapan ng Diyos bilang mga misyoneryo. Ang kanilang mga misyon ay pumunta sa mga dako paroon, kagaya ng inaawit natin kanina, to the regions beyond. Yung tumingin ka sa mga hindi karaniwang pinag-iisipan na dapat paglingkuran, pero ang puso ng isang misyoneryo ay merong puso para doon sa mga nawawala, malimit hindi pinag-iisipan, sila yung pinag-iisipan, kaya dakila ang ganitong pag-ibig na dapat nating tularan. Nakita natin ito sa katauhan nung isang linggo ni John Eliot. Si John Eliot galing sa England, siya ay tumawid ng dagat patungo ng tinawag noon na New England. Ito ngayon ang naging Amerika na ngayon. Tinungo nila yan si John Eliot, nagkaroon siya ng settled pastorate sa Roxbury, just near Boston. But even then, although ang mga miyembro niya roon ay mga decent Englishmen, hindi niya nalimutan yung mga Indians, the Native Americans, ang tawag sa kanila noon, Redskins, Indians. Pero hindi nalimutan ni John Eliot, nakasama sila sa dapat abutin ng Ebanghelyo, at bagamat may resistensya, mismo doon sa mga English settlers, tingin nila sa mga Indians ay savages, pero nakita ni Eliot na para din sa kanila ang Ebanghelyo. Ganyan po ang missionary love, the idea of extending to the lost, the call of the gospel. So that's John Eliot. Ngayon tingnan natin ay isa pang pioneering missionary sa katauhan ni Adoniram Judson. So habang nasa kasagsagan tayo ng Dagohoy Revolt, pinakamahabang revolt dito sa Pilipinas nang dahil lamang sa pagkakait ng tuba. Pero mula dito sa panahong yun, 1788, ay ipinanganak itong si Adoniram Judson, August 9, 1788. His parents were all Adoniram and Abigail Judson, kaya junior itong si Adoniram Judson Jr. Yung father niya isang pastor, ministro sa isang congregational church, and therefore meron siyang Christian background, but as we shall see, he has an interesting story of conversion. At childhood, he had a very precocious, meaning mabunga yung kanyang development, napaka-avid niya na reader. Isang bagay ito na lagi kong sinasadya sa mga parents, if there's anything you can train your child in, train him to read, make him an avid reader. Well, itong si Judson ay avid reader, kung ano yung mga books na available sa bahay ng tatay niya, kanyang binabasa, at a very tender age. And just like John Eliot, nakita natin last week, he also was fond of languages. So when Adoniram Judson was 16, the family then moved to the historic town. Ang pronunciation dyan ay Plymouth. Huwag niyong basahin Plymouth. Yan ay Plymouth. Doon sa Plymouth, Adoniram studied in what was then called Providence University. Ang tawag na dyan ngayon ay Brown University. And upon graduation, he opened a private academy in Plymouth and taught for a year. So, grammar school ito, yung sinasabi natin mga elementary school. Nagturo siya ng mga bata, so mahilig siya sa pagtuturo. And during this time, na siya nagtuturo, he published two books. One on grammar and another on arithmetic. So, para matulungan siya sa kanyang pagtuturo, kulang siguro ng mga books for children noon, siya na mismong nagsulat ng book para sa mga bata, one on grammar and one on arithmetic. So, from this early stage ng kanyang buhay, ay makikita na natin yung kung ano yung giftedness nitong si Adoniram Judson. But he was converted in a remarkable fashion at 20 years of age sa ganitong paraan. Siya ay, alam natin, lumaki siya sa isang Christian household. Hindi lang basta Christian household, isa pastor's family. And yet, even then, hindi siya nagkaroon ng malakas na impluensya na maging Kristiyano. In fact, when he went to college, siya ay nag-college na nagkaroon ng malaking impluensya sa kanyang isang kaibigan niya na tingin niya ay brilliant, pero deistic. Yung kanyang paniniwala sa Diyos ay Diyos na nag-withdraw. Kung mga pinabahala na sa atin ng Diyos yung mga buhay natin, Basta andyan lang siya, yan yung deism. At napaka-brilliant itong kaibigan niya at siya ay na-impluensyahan. Itong laging pinangangambahan ng mga parents, yung lahat ng itinuro ng bata pagdating na sa impluensya sa panahon ay nawawala. Kung minsan nangyari ito kay Adoniram Judson. Pero one time, upon his graduation, nagpasya siya na magkaroon ng pleasure trip. Siguro, sa sipag niyang pag-aaral, nag-graduate, gusto naman niyang i-treat yung sarili niya, yun nga ang ginawa niya. So, he went off to have his pleasure trip. Nag-check-in siya sa isang inn, tawag natin yung hotel. So, nag-check-in siya roon, natulog, nag-check-in sa isang room. Doon sa kabilang room, narinig niyang ingay ng isang taong dying, umuungol, talagang hindi siya makatulog hanggang sa kinabukasan nung siya ay palabas na, inusisa niya yung nangyari doon. Sinabi, namatay nga yung taong yun. And who was that man? Well, his friend. His friend in college na deistic at nagkaroon ng impluensya sa kanya. It was his friend yung namatay sa kabilang room. At naalala niya kung paanong yung ungol niya, yung kanyang walang katiyakan sa kanyang kamatayan. Ibig sabihin, he was not ready to die. And yet, he was influenced by his very deism, his free-thinking ways. Sinakmal ng takot itong si Adoniram Judson. Ginamit siya ng Panginoon upang siya'y dalhin sa conviction. And so at this age, about 20, he was converted as he remembers all yung mga napag-aralan niya, yung mga narinig niyang mensahe. Ito pala ang maghahanda sa kanya sa talagang pagharap sa kamatayan. So, when he was converted, it was also almost simultaneous that he came to be convinced of his call to missions. So in 1808, he studied in a seminary, Andover Seminary. So yan yung kanyang early life, precocious childhood, very gifted as a teacher, and then converted in a very remarkable fashion. And now, he was going to give himself to the call of mission because he was influenced nung siya'y nakarinig ng isang missionary na nangaral tungkol sa mission, nung that one sermon was used by God in order to convict him that there is no other way for him than the way of the missionary life. So there, he dedicated himself to mission work. Nung marinig ito ng mga kakilala niya, pati ng pamilya niya, katakot-takot na offer ang dumating sa kanya. Kasi nga, kilala siya as a teacher, gifted man, publisher, author. He already made a name for himself. Parang nasasayangan sila. Itong taong to, gifted, mawawala lang sa mission. Yan ang takbo ng isip ng mga tao nun. Kaya kabi-kabi lang offer, handsome offers for him to do this or do that. And even his family. Nasasayangan na siya, mauwi lang sa mission. So they pleaded with him, his sisters in particular, cried para pigilan siya na magbigay ng sarili niya sa mission, but Adoniram himself was committed to give himself to missions. Well, just before that happened, he met this woman, Anne Hazeltine, smitten by her. But even that did not forbid him, did not prevent him from pursuing his mission work. But he wooed this woman, and in those days, kinakailangan pumasa ka sa tatay bago ka mahingi yung kamay ng isang dalaga. Yun ang kultura noon, pero dapat totoo pa rin yan ngayon. So, Adoniram tried to persuade the father. Well, tell me how persuasive he was. He wrote a letter. It's in the back of your handout. Ito sabi niya sa letter niya sa tatay ni Anne. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world, whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, I for the sake of Zion and the glory of God? Oh, how about that for a proposition? Ganyan ang proposition itong si Adoniram. Well, in the blessing of the Lord, the woman he was wooing matched his zeal with her own spirituality. And this was the entry of Anne Hazelton in her own personal journal. Jesus is faithful. His promises are precious. Were it not for these considerations, I should, with my present prospects, sink down in despair, especially as no female has, to my knowledge, ever left the shores of America to spend her life among the heathen. Nor do I yet know that I shall have a single female companion. But God is my witness that I have not dared to decline the offer that has been made me, though so many are ready to call it a wild, romantic undertaking. Well, a spiritual woman. Matching itong zeal ni Adoniram. And so, Adoniram proposed, or rather, they were married on February 5, 1812. And the next day, February 6, Adoniram was ordained as a missionary in Salem. And on February 19, with his wife, sailed for Calcutta, India. Sa barko na ang pangalan ay Caravan. Now, itong voyage na ito, again, from the United States going to India, kung last week nakita natin, John Eliot tumawid ng Atlantic, papunta ng Amerika. Itong si Adoniram Judson, kinakalang tumawid rin ng mga dagat, papunta naman ng India. Now, it took 4 months of voyage. From America, wala pa yung mga Panama Canal, etc. Talagang iikot ka sa iba't ibang mga lugar. Now, during those 4 months, they knew they were going to meet the Baptist mission work in India. And they were Congregationalists. Yung Congregationalists ay pedo-baptist. Kasi nagbabaptize sila ng infants. And because they were going to meet the Careys and the others who were already famous for their mission work, Adoniram and Anne, the couple, began to prepare. Kinakalang maghanda sila, didepensahan nila yung kanilang pedo-baptist position laban kanila Carey. So ginamit nila yung 4 na buwan ng pag-aaral. Instead, they became more and more persuaded of the Baptist position. Kumbaga, as they studied the New Testament, sa halip na makumbinsi sila at sa halip na madepensahan nila yung kanilang paniniwala na dapat magbautismo ng mga infants, nakukumbinsi sila sa posisyon na dapat silang ang dapat lang bautismuhan ay yung mananampalataya. At ganyan naman ang turo ng bagong tipan talaga, na ang binabautismuhan lamang ay yung mga sumasampalataya na. So sa halip na sila ay makipagtalo kanila Carey, pagdating na nila, after those 4 months of study, pagdating nila ng India at nakatagpo na nila sila William Carey, they were already convinced to be Baptists. Now, but I want you to know the what was at stake. Isinugo sila ng congregational mission, ang support nila ay nanggagaling sa congregational mission, pero ngayon naging Baptist sila along the way, at ngayon ay handa na silang magpailalim, magpagkaroon ng baptism as adults and as believers, tanggal yung support nila from the congregational missions. But here again, they are showing, and Adoniram in particular was showing, yung uri ng kanyang prinsipyo na kung yun ang tinuturo ng Biblia, wala tayong pag-iisipan, support o ano paman. Ito ang nakumbinsi silang tinuturo ng Biblia, tanggapin natin. And so instead of debating, by the time they arrived in India, they were ready to be baptized. And they were baptized by one of the companies ni William Carey. And so they became instead Baptist missionaries. And sila naman ay tinulungan ng Baptist mission, so wala na yung congregational mission. So again, the work there is show the principled commitment of Adoniram Judson emerged in this trial of faith. Na susundin niya ang tinuturo ng Biblia kahit pa mawala yung support. But the Lord, in His providence, has supplied their needs, and as it turned out, although they were intent on having a work in India, eh nakita na andun na si William Carey, Judson spent the first 10 years mainly mastering the Burmese language. And according to Judson, alam natin, very skillful siya, may gift siya sa pag-aaral ng language, but he found the Burmese language one of the most difficult languages in the world. So, hindi natin alam kung paano, but yun ang sinabi niya, he found it very difficult, and especially because there were no references. No references ng sa atin, English, Tagalog, etc. Walang ganun nung panahong yun. There were no references, and so, as remember, walang grammar, walang arithmetic sa kanyang school noon. So what did he do? He published. So walang dictionary ng Burmese. What did he do? He published. He published the first Burmese dictionary. In fact, Burmese grammar for the Burmese language. And again, that shows yung gift ng taong ito pagdating sa pag-unawa ng language. Yung mga Burmese mismo, wala silang dictionary. Eh, siya pa yung unang-unang nakapag-publish ng Burmese dictionary in their own language. And at this point, Adoniram Judson used his gift for languages. He started translating. Nakita rin natin yan kay John Eliot, yung kanyang translation into the Indian language. Translation is a blessed ministry. And here we find Adoniram Judson doing just that, translating it for the understanding of the Burmese people. And after several years of immersing himself into the study of language, in April 1819, Adoniram Judson preached his first public discourse in Burmese. And then, in June following, his first baptism of his first convert, a man named Mung Hau. And Mung Hau became very effective as a tool, as a native instrument for the Burmese people. Kaya many followed after him. So after Mung Hau, many others followed because Mung Hau was a respected man, and many others followed, and a church was formed in Rangoon at about this time. When after several years na pagsisikap, ay nakita niyang pwede nang iwanan ang iglesyang ito sa pangangalaga ng iba pang mga missionaries, he committed the care of the new church to a missionary couple, and they moved, well again, to the regions beyond, in Burma, and settling in the city of Ava in 1824. But at this time, war broke out between England and Burma, the English-Burmese War. And as is often the case, pag may ganitong nangyayari, yung mga natives o yung mga nakatirang nasa lugar mo na natives ng kalaban mo, kalaban mo na rin. That's what happened to the Judsons. So, especially Adoniram Judson was suspected as a spy, and he was imprisoned in a prison, in a notorious prison house known as Ungpenla. Now, I have a description of the Ungpenla prison at the back of your handout. It was 40 by 30, 5 feet high. Imagine, 5 feet high. With no ventilation save through the cracks between the boards, in this room were confined 100 persons of both sexes and all nationalities, nearly all naked and half famished. The prison was never washed or even swept. Putrid remains of animal and vegetable matter, together with nameless abominations, strewed the floor. In this place of torment, Mr. Judson lay with 5 pairs of fetters on his legs and ankles, weighing about 14 pounds, the marks of which he carried to his dying day. Well, this man suffered because of his missionary commitment. Well, later on, nung medyo gumagaang na ang digmaan, the government released him because of his, again, ability of both languages, English and Burmese, that made him a natural negotiator and translator. So mula doon sa pagkakakulong, nakita nilang magagamit siya, so pinawalan at ginamit para sa work of translation to mediate between the warring parties. So with that release in 1826, the Judsons returned to Rangoon. Again, the English government, seeing how useful Adoniram could be para sa kanilang mga business and government work sa Burma, they offered him handsome money to work for them. Adoniram refused. Well, it just goes back sa kanyang missionary commitment when people were offering him left and right. Na dito ka na mag-work, huwag ka na mag-mission. Well, again, the same thing happened here. Huwag ka nang mag-mission, mag-work ka para sa English government, and you will be supplied in a real handsome price, handsome salary. But again, he refused. And this became a period of much suffering in the ministry and personal life of Judson, his wife, Anne, died. And only with a gap of a few months, his child died. And I lack space for describing the depression that Adoniram went through and the agony of this period for Adoniram. Well, he moved and started work in Mulmain. And there a new church was formed. And still, he was continuing his translation work. So imagine the depression he was going through, the loneliness, and yet continued to work. He continued to work. And then at this time, he married a widow, Sarah Hall Boardman, in 1834. So almost 10 years after Anne died. And then it was at this time that he took his only furlough and sailed for America in 1845. Today, missionaries have at least every 2 years a furlough back to their homeland, and I don't begrudge them that. They need that. But missionaries of the past, in fact, William Carey never had a furlough. He went to India, stayed there until he died. Adoniram Judson went to Burma and only had one furlough over his mission work. This was sacrifice for them. So he sailed for America, yet while their boat was off in St. Helena, his wife died. Well, wife number two died. So he went to America and there had speaking engagements. In fact, one episode here, when he went to a meeting, a lot of people came because his fame was already widespread in kanyang mission work. And so many came, and then he announced his subject to be that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody whispered to him, all these people came because they wanted to hear someone who came from the opposite of the world. And Judson said, all the better. Now they know that even a man who came from the opposite side of the world has nothing to say but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel he preached, and many were converted. So, while in America on furlough, he married wife number three, Emily Chabak. In 1846, he sailed back to Burma, and there he completed Bible translation and also published a Burmese dictionary. So, while on voyage, in 1850, April 12th, Adoniram Judson died in the boats, and the Indian Ocean became his grave. Now, if we analyze the lasting influence of Adoniram Judson, you will see this in the fact that even in Burma today, outside of Buddhism, Baptists remain the most flourishing group. Outside of Buddhism, they're still predominantly Buddhists. But outside Buddhism, ang mga pinaka namumunga na pananampalataya ay ang mga Baptists. I have two students in GMA, Grace Ministerial Academy, from Burma, and they're both Baptist, and they come from different regions. One is from the capital, Yangon, another is from the provinces. In provinces, I remember when he first came to us in GMA, we offered him a room with a stove, and he didn't know how to use the stove. Ganyang kanyang provincial background. Hindi niya alam paano pagsindi, etc. Sanay lang siya siguro sa mga kahoy, mga ganun. But he will be graduating this September. I remember him giving a devotional, I think a month ago. At ginamit niya yung time that Samaria was besieged by the Assyrians, but by the wonderful act of the Lord, sinabi ng mga lepers, we'll die here, and then so let's just go out. If we die, at least they may feed us. Pagdating nila ron, wala nang Assyrians. They all ran the camp of the Assyrians was empty. At so nagpapasarap sila doon at sinabi nila, it's not right. This is a day of good news. And so we must go back to Samaria. And in his own way of expounding the scripture, but nonetheless, sinabi niya, his situation is like that. I came to love the Philippines. I came to love Manila. And I probably would want to marry a Filipina. But, sabi niya, Burma is waiting. And I'm going back there. So, and that's a good thing to hear. And this is, masasabi natin, a fruit of Judson's missionary work. Baptists are flourishing. Not only that, Judson's Bible translation is still the Bible used by many Burmese evangelicals. I met a Burmese, hindi siya estudyante, but I met him in a conference, and when I asked him what Bible he was using, it's the Judson translation. So that's more than 200 years ago, and still, the fruit of Judson's work ay makikita natin. But remember, what suffering he had to go through on a personal and ministerial level in order to love the lost. One of his companions, Dr. Wayland by name, described Judson's missionary goal in this way. His object was to accomplish the most stupendous revolution of which we can conceive in this whole people. It was nothing less than an entire transformation of the moral character of every individual. The means by which this was to be accomplished was very simple. It was the announcement of the message from God to man, attended by the omnipotent Spirit of God. Judson himself put in a verse his own commitment, and there in bold letters, he said, "Sovereign love appoints the measure and the number of our pains, and is pleased when we take pleasure in the trials he ordains." So if there is a lesson I want to draw from love for the lost in the ministry of Adoniram Judson, it is this: love for the lost drives to work for their conversion even when there is much personal cost. Adoniram Judson's own life verse is Ephesians 3:17-19. Let me read it. Ephesians 3:17-19, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So he lived that life. And if I may think personally of a verse that describes Adoniram Judson's life and ministry, it is the verse on the top of your handout, 2 Timothy 2:10. "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So tayo, hamunin natin yung ating sarili. What personal cost are we willing to pay to reach out to the lost within our circle? We would not find ourselves in a prison like Ongpenla. We will not have a wife, children dying under our care in the way that Judson had to experience that. It's personal cost. But that is part of loving the lost. And Adoniram Judson is a trophy in the history of Christianity of that kind of love. And let it challenge us. Any question? Any thought you'd like to share or... Thank you po. Salamat, Tito Ike. It's a wonderful story to hear. And sana isulat nyo rin ang life story nyo para mukhang very exciting yung mga araw na yun. Okay. So, any other question? So, nakita nga natin is ano yung nire-require sa atin kung tayo magiging missionary in a formal way by being sent to some place. It may require great sacrifices na nangyari kay Judson, nangyari sa mga sinabi ni Tito Ike. I'm familiar with the Summer Institute of Linguistics. It's based in Davao. I have visited it. And kung titingnan nyo, parang mga technical ang ginagawa nila ron, how to translate the Bible into various languages. Marami silang materials doon. But the real nitty-gritty of their work is sending missionaries, preparing missionaries to preach to a strange language just because they believe that the gospel is for all. Other questions? Any other thought? Suzette.
Sa tingin niyo kaya, Pastor, may malaking difference ang missionaries before and yung mga missionaries ngayon?
Well, in terms ng mga, because we have advanced thoroughly in terms ng tools available, transportation and communication, which are very important, vital part ng mission work, of course, mas marami nang kayang abutin, mas maraming magagawa ngayon, mas maraming maipiprint, etc. But also, may I say, in terms of the level of commitment, there are still missionaries of the type of the Judsons and William Carey, willing to sacrifice their lives. There are still those until now. But on the other hand, I find also in my encounter with many missionaries over several decades, many of them make mission work like a career. They will be better off as missionaries than if they stay in their homeland where they are very poor sa kanilang skills and they'll not make very good, but they'll make good as missionaries. I've encountered those people. Kasi pag punta nila rito, kahit maliit yung support sa kanila, pagdating nila sa lugar kagaya ng Pilipinas, they will still be above average in terms of income, which was not the case in the missionaries of the past. In the missionaries of the past, kadalasan hindi dumarating agad ang support. They make do with very little. Sometimes they go hungry. And yet they're willing to do all that for the gospel. Hindi yan nangyayari sa mga missionaries ngayon. So I'm not going to question the motive and the commitment of missionaries talagang hinahangaan ko. But on the other hand, I also have encountered missionaries who are here because they'll be better off here than if they stay in their land. Other questions? Jin.
Pastor, yung mga churches that were planted in Burma, may mga documentations ba on what happened to these churches? Katulad nung yung sa kay Hudson Taylor, yung sa parang yung OMF, parang may mga documentations kasi sila nung mga nangyari dun sa mga churches.
Well, we will be studying Hudson Taylor next Sunday, and yes, maraming documentation because he was thoroughly supported and supervised by the China Inland Mission, which is the predecessor of what is now Overseas Missionary Fellowship, OMF, known as China Inland Mission. We will see that in the case of Judson, he was almost on his own throughout nung kanyang mission work, kaya the documentation would be from the people themselves who were ministered to and from the writings of Judson himself, na not all have been preserved. Kaya yun ang mga documentation na available sa atin. And remember na dumaan rin sa mga gera itong Burma, First World War, Second World War, and of course, yung mga iba pang pinagdaanan nila. And yung mga rulers na malupit, nag-persecute ng mga Kristiyano, kasamang sinisira yung mga document. Tario. So yan ang ilang mga hirap sa paggawa ng kasaysayan pagdating sa Burma. But some documents exist. There's a good biography by Errol Hulse on Adoniram Judson. It's just a small book, but may nilagay siya mga pictures doon ng iba't ibang mga extracts ng sa buhay ni Judson. There's also a book with the title, The Three Mrs. Judsons. biography ng mga naging asawa ni Johnson. And they were all spiritual, committed women, by the way. Other questions? Sige po.
Since the biography of Adoram Hudson tungkol sa justification by baptism, no, Martin, unlike Martin Luther, justification by faith, yung pagkaka history ni ng paanong his ang history ng dos missionary nito ay what is flourishing about baptism in water. So many groups Baptist, unlike Baptist Bible or Reformed Bible Baptist, Grace Baptist. What is the difference of these groups? They are all the same.
So ang tanong po niyo ay tungkol sa baptism o tungkol sa differences ng Baptists?
Hindi. Kung magkakaisa itong Baptist.
Well, isang pinagkakaisahan ng mga
faith baptism.
Isang pinagkakaisahan ng mga Baptists ay itong baptism in the New Testament, which is by immersion of believers only. So diyan nagkakaisa lahat ng mga Baptists. At yan ang nakakumbinsi kay Judson at sa asawa niya nung sila'y on voyage pa lang papuntang India, ay nakumbinsi sila na ang tamang baptism ay yung itinuturo ng mga Baptists, which is immersion of believers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Kaya pagdating nila ng India, ay sila'y nabautismoan sa tamang bautismo. So that's one thing na same conviction of all Baptists. However, sa ibang mga bagay, kahit yung mga iba-ibang Baptists ay may mga pagkakaiba-iba sa kanilang paniniwala sa Ebanghelyo, paniniwala sa maraming bagay na pinagkakaiba nila, pero nagkakaisa sila sa usapin o doktrina ng bautismo.
While on the way to Damascus, Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit, who was blinded by the Holy Spirit.
Ano po?
Baptism ba yung Holy Spirit o just was blinded by the Spirit?
Yung baptism ng Holy Spirit po yung nangyari sa Pentecost at yung nangyari sa Caesarea ng Jews at saka Gentiles. Yun po ang tinatawag sa Book of Acts na Spirit Baptism.
Amen. Amen to that.
Salamat po. Other questions?
Bale, Pastor, yung isang tanong ho niya ay yung tungkol po dun sa Congregationalist saka naging Baptist.
Yung Congregationalist na pinanggalingan ni Judson ay katulad ng Baptist na ang churches ay dapat independent. So nagkakaisa sila roon, hindi kagaya ng Presbyterians na churches ay centrally governed. Pero bagaman nagkakaisa sila roon, pagdating sa practice ng baptism, ang Congregationalist ay nagbabaptize ng infants. Infants ng mga believers, binabautismohan nila by sprinkling. Ang Baptists naniniwala na you only baptize believers and you baptize by immersion. So between the 4 months na umalis siya sa US, papuntang India, 4 months sa dagat, pinag-aralan nila yung usapin na yan kasi baka nga debatehin sila ng mga caries, pinaghandaan nila. Pero sa halip na maging handa silang ipagtanggol ang infant baptism, they were convinced of the Baptist position. So by the time na nakarating sila sa India, ay Baptist na yung kanilang conviction. Nabaptize sila ngayon pagdating sa India. So yun ang kaibahan ng Congregationalist sa Baptist.
But both, Pastor, they are saved people.
Oh yes, we're not talking here of salvation. We believe that whether you're baptized as a believer or as an infant, ay nawawala na ko-compromise yung salvation. Salvation is about the gospel. The gospel is about Christ. And Christ as one who died for sinners, na siya yung namatay, yan lang ang pag-asa natin. Hindi natin inaasahan ang bautismo natin para sa kaligtasan. Ang inaasahan lang natin ay ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Pero ang isang nanampalataya sa Panginoong Jesucristo, inaasahan na maging aktibo sa iglesia. At para maging aktibo sa iglesia, magiging miyembro sa pamamagitan ng bautismo. Other questions? So ang hamon dito sa atin, personal cost, in order to love the lost. Imagine what could Judson have been if he stayed in America, gifted siyang tao, maraming offer, kabi-kabila. And even at the time na naranasan na niya yung hirap, nakulong siya sa Umpenla, ngayon ino-offer siya ng English government, again, malaking pera para maging worker para sa kanila. But all those offers, Judson refused because he was single-minded in his commitment to reach the lost as God has called him. And I can only say, what a commitment, what a zeal, what a sacrifice. And that's the love for the lost that we are called upon. And hindi naman tayo tinatawag ng ganun sa mga simpleng oportunidad na ibinibigay sa ating makipag-usap sa mga tao tungkol sa kanilang kaluluwa. Angkinin natin yung mga oportunidad na yun. If we are given the opportunity na kausapin sila sa kanilang language, use their language, then so much the better. It's all part of loving the lost. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kami nagpapasalamat sa buhay ni Adoniram Judson na humahamon ngayon sa amin sa kanyang malaking mga sakripisyo na personal at sa kanyang ministeryo upang abutin lamang ang mga taong nawawala sa kasalanan. At salamat Panginoon maging sa tagumpay na ibinigay mo sa misyon na ito na hanggang ngayon ay nagkakaroon pa rin ng mga bunga sa aming kasalukuyan. At naway maging hamon nito sa amin, kami na tinatawag mong angkinin ng mga pagkakataon na sa amin upang mangusap sa mga nawawala. Malimit ay nangingimi kami o napipigilan kami ng mga bagay na hindi naman magiging katulad ng sakripisyong pinagdaanan ng katulad ni Adoniram Judson. Naway maging masunurin kami at ilagay mo sa aming puso ang tunay na pag-ibig sa mga makasalanan, pag-ibig na handang magsakripisyo, pag-ibig na handang magpakasakit, alang-alang sa kanya na iniwan ang kanyang luklukan upang ang kininang kasalanan ng mga nagkasala upang sila iligtas sa kanilang kasalanan. May we have that commitment and the readiness to sacrifice at great cost, whatever it is we are called upon to do in the work of reaching out to the lost. So be with us in this commitment. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.